conversation, it was probably 2 weeks ago, and we just in our living and processing, talking about this thing, how do you deal, how do you live with joy and sadness in your heart at the same time? And it was the anniversary of Mark's death that, and at the same time of the anniversary of his death, we were away having fun that we've not been able to do for about 3 or 4 months. Just life's been busy. We try to steward our own relationship, get away once in a while. So the only time we had to get away, and all of our vacations are around seeing our kids, because our kids live so far, if we get 3 days, it's going to be to see a kid, but we spend time together. So what happens is, in the time that we get to spend together is the anniversary of Mark's death. And so it's a good thing that we have good communication, and we're talking about, so we're going to see my kids, but I have a son that's died. And so every time you see your kids after a kid's dead, the ghost or the memory or them not being there, it speaks louder than the people that are there. It's true, isn't it? We have, how many people have lost children that are in the room? I'm looking at 2, 3. Yeah. And so here's what I learned. Jim and the Beakers, Tom and Anita are mentors in me in losing a child, because I go to talk to them about it. And I go, Jim, they tell me time makes it better. When does time make it better? And he goes, if they told you that, they lied. It's time doesn't make it better. Losing a kid is different than anything else. And so we, just Molly and I, process and are a way to have fun. And we're having like really big fun in what we're doing. Simultaneously, there is the grief in our heart of missing somebody. And so we start talking about this thing. How do you live with joy and sadness in the same heart at the same moment, right? And in our processing, she made a little video about it. And when she made the video about it, we had all kinds of people that responded to that, saying, yes, I deal with that too, okay? I got to thinking, and I think just about our church, and I go, our church, there are some ways in which we seem like a grieving person. And then I got to thinking about it, and over the past 5 years, this congregation has lost a lot of people. And I mean, people that went to church here, and I go, it would be good to go to the scripture, and I could not have done that. I could have done it scripturally. I could have done it technically. I could not have done with the integrity of walking through it that I can do now. I could not have done that 5 years ago. But I have the, what do you say, practical knowledge and the scriptural knowledge to touch something that I think is very important. And it is, how do I navigate my own heart when it's really good and it's really bad at the same time? And it can be really good, and then the history of the bad will touch or hit you at a particular moment. Does anybody know what I'm talking about at all? We're headed into, and can I be practical for a second, is we had men's meeting. Our men's group was kicking it on Saturday morning. We had several men coming and that kind of thing. And then Tom died. And when Tom died, I don't know if you guys knew, anybody that knew Tom knew this. Tom was a talker. So if he came through the room, then Tom's gonna be the talker. And there was a very present voice that was absent when Tom was not there. Okay? And then Howard died, and it was at Howard's house. And in my heart, I said, I don't want to have men's group anymore, and I don't ever want to go to a men's group again. And if there's more than three men in a room, I'm leaving, because when I have the fun, it causes the pain to rise up, right? And there are some guys in church that said, okay, we've had some time where we've not done that, but there is some strength and beauty in us coming together. Let's get that going again, okay? And so just I'm saying there are individuals that are going through a thing, but there can also be a people that go through a thing. And so I want to speak. I'm going to speak about it today, maybe a little bit more as we get into holidays. We want to celebrate the holidays, but I also understand there are not some people there that their lack of a voice speak a loud voice. Is that? And so let me help us. And this morning I'm just going to try to be pastoral as I can be, and go. There are three things I want to do. Number one, I want to give you some warnings. When you are living with grief and joy in the same heart, there are some warnings, okay? And then I'm going to give you a resource. Has anybody ever felt like I'm going through something, but I don't know where in the Bible to turn to deal with it? I know that it's probably in the Bible. I don't know where in the Bible it is so I can deal with it. Okay, and I'm going to give you a resource. I'm going to give you some warnings, then I'm going to give you some resource, a resource. That resource is going to be Psalm 42. We'll turn there in just a minute. And it is a place where the great psalmist David is dealing with joy and pain in the same heart. Okay? That's Psalm 42, and it's a place whenever you feel that you can go, oh, here's a resource that I have. And then three, I'm going to give you some suggestions, and probably next week I'm going to unpack those suggestions. I'm not going to go deep on them today, okay? But I'm going to give you some warnings. When you are feeling joy, then pain. My wife's very stable. Those of you that know her know she's very stable. We had a pet that died, and she's not necessarily deeply emotionally connected to the pet, but her kids were. And we went to go bury the pet, and at that point in time, she was as sad as I had ever seen her. What's going on? And the pet became a doorway to a lot of back pressure pain. And when you have pain and joy in the same heart, what can happen is a little thing can become a big thing real quick. And it's not about quickly. It's not about the little thing that's going on. It's about the back pressure of what's there. Does that make some clear manner of sense? Okay. And if you do not don't know how to deal well with the back pressure will mow you over, and it'll usually be a little thing that starts it, okay? And the suggestions that I want to give, they help to diffuse. I have a friend, they diffuse back pressure. I had a friend that didn't know how to use a pressure cooker. But mama, yeah, you got it. That's exactly right, Larry. But mama always made spaghetti sauce in a pressure cooker, and he loved mama's spaghetti sauce. He had never tasted anything like it, because what happens in a pressure cooker, it pressurizes those tomatoes, and it does something with steam that nothing else could do. And he loved it, and he called mom, how do you do it? And he was in college, and one of his buddies lived close, and he got a pressure cooker. And they put a pressure cooker on the stove to make some. And if you don't know about pressure cookers, there's a thing called a regulator that goes on the top. And according to the way the regulator reacts is the way you adjust the heat. He didn't know any of that. He knew Mama made good tomato sauce inside a pressure cooker, and he and his college buddies were going to make Mama's tomato sauce. They didn't know about the regulator. And he told me 4 years later, when we left college, we were still finding tomato spots in the living room. And here's what happened. There was a lot of back pressure, and they went to take the lid off without releasing the back pressure, and they got tomato sauces in the bathroom over that right there, right? And it's not that big a deal until it's a big deal, and the big deal is there's a lot of back pressure. And I want to give you and help us in it's not just for the big folks. They tell me that if you're under 17, 18 years of age, that there are more kids dealing with anxiety today than any time in the history of the world. Kids have more anxiety as teenagers today than any other time in the history of studying that in America, okay? So what we need to learn to do is deal with back pressure, okay? And I want to give you, I have joy and I have sadness inside the same heart. Life's good. I love my life. I love a lot of good things about my life, but let me show you a couple places that pressure comes from. One is I can feel guilty for something I've done in the past. Two is somebody did something to me that was abusive, that causes back pressure in my soul. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to go real deep today, but I want to tell you this. There are people, and statistics say some of them could be in this room. There are people, there are girls that are abused when they are children, that they live with that pressure. It usually comes out when their children, when their own children get to the age that they were when they were abused. And then some women are abused, like in their late teens, early 20s, that they usually don't deal with that until they're in their 50s. That means they lived their whole life with back pressure, and they see a kid, and they have a kid, and they have a joyous life, but in behind that is sadness in the same heart that there's joy. Okay? Let me help us just give you some suggestions. Just be aware of this. I'm going to call this the be awares, all right? Be aware. I'm going to write down so I can say the same thing next week. Be aware, A, of self-pity. When you're sad and happy at the same time, be aware of self-pity. Self-pity is a downward spot. If somebody's going to feel sorry for you, let it be somebody else. When you, there's nothing wrong with grieving. We'll talk about that. But when you start feeling sorry for yourself, it will become an unending cycle that takes you down. Okay? Number one, just tell you, be conscious of this. As we're heading into the holidays and your loved one's not here, beware of looking around and going, I feel bad for me. Why do they get their loved one and I don't? Do you see how that spiral can go down? So beware of self-pity. The second one is very important. All four of these are important. I'm just going to give you four. Second is beware of satanic exaggeration. Beware of the enemy stepping into your pain, because he will exaggerate it and make it worse. I have a very good friend that's a very mature Christian that I was talking to a couple weeks ago, and they go, somebody said something to me about how bad I am. It wrecked their world. They could not get their emotion back. When I talked to them, they had been crying for 24 to 30 hours unable to stop because somebody said something that they knew was not true about them. They go, I don't even believe that's true. I go, do you believe that's true? No, I don't believe it's true. But something happened when they said it. And so I said, let's break this down. Your heart is already broken because you're dealing with loss. So you got happy, sad in the same place. Now you're dealing with loss, and now somebody said something, and the devil has exaggerated that inside your mind. And what we're going to do is call that a lie. It's not true. Break the power that's controlling you. And I'm going to tell you, folks, in one prayer, the crying stopped, and everything changed in one moment. Because what had happened was there was an evil exaggeration to what was happening because the heart was already broken. And I'm just going to give you some really good news. And here's what it is. It's the best news you're ever going to hear. Jesus Christ was anointed to heal broken hearts. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the anointing that was on him is called the Holy Spirit. And that anointing is with us. And where there is exaggeration by the kingdom of darkness in the midst of your grief, there is power for that to be broken and for healing to come. And that's amazing news. Okay? So warning one, beware of self-pity. Warning two, beware of evil. Beware of the devil. Beware of exaggeration. That's what he'll do. Condemnation, guilt, false voices in your head. Okay? Number three, beware of sinful relief. I'm in pain. If I drink, it'll make the pain go away. If I drink more, it'll make it great. So beware when I am happy, sad, beware of things that are against God, against the Bible. I'll tell you why in just a minute. Okay? Beware of those things because the enemy will tempt me in, push me too far, condemn me. And now what will happen is I'll have false guilt or real guilt. I'll have shame. So I did something that was wrong. I have guilt. I have shame. And then a cycle will come where I have to keep doing that thing to cover the guilt and the shame. And now I feel guilt and shame because I did what I did. And it'll become. So what'll happen is I'm hurting. Whenever I'm hurting, I'll show you the greatest guy in the Bible, great worship leader, knows God very well. But when you're hurting, it will feel like God's not around. When it feels like God's not around, I will find something to numb the pain so that the pain will not hurt. Okay? So be aware when I have happy, sad in the same heart. Be aware of something that is not godly that will relieve that pain. And I'm going to say, I talk to people now. I don't just talk to them with with Bible knowledge. I talk to them with real knowledge when they've been through things that were difficult, especially like the losing of a child. And I've talked to from rich to poor over the last couple of years, prominent to not prominent, known to unknown, all kinds of people, probably 10 or 12 of them. And they will go, here's what they'll say. It's much easier to drink than it was before I lost my child. And then a couple of them said, I found that I'm much farther down the road of needing to drink in order to sleep than I did before. Does that make sense? And so here's what I'm saying. One, let me watch myself that I don't get self-centered, have self-pity. Let me watch myself that I don't allow exaggeration. And that would especially come in relationship to other people. Somebody will say something that doesn't mean anything, and it will amplify since my heart's hurt. Okay? So be careful of satanic exaggeration. Number three, be care of sinful relief. And then number four, I'm only going to give four right now, is beware of self-seclusion. I want to give illustration if I can say it. When my son died, I did not talk to another human for about 4 or 5 days. Because I couldn't. I had as brief conversation with my other children as I could have. And I was totally shut down. I needed something done about after the 3rd or 4th day. And Ron was at my house while the police were there. Other people tried to reach out to me. After about 4 days, something had to be done. I could have done by myself, but I knew it'd be better if somebody else helped me. I called Larry. Larry said, "I'll be right there." He's the first person I talked to. But after I talked to him, I was able to talk to other people. And so I'm not saying I could take the Bible, I give you 10 verses right now. But what I'm saying is, what will happen is you will self-seclude. When you self-seclude, you'll start feeling sorry for yourself. When you start feeling sorry for yourself, the enemy will come in on that. Then you'll feel shameful and you'll feel guilty. And it will become a downward spiral that you can't get out of. And now what will happen is you have happy and sad, but you'll never get to the happy because the sad will be so overwhelming. Okay? And so, beware when happy and sad are dwelling in the same heart at the same moment. Beware of self-seclusion. Okay? Now, I want to take us to the Bible and give you a resource. I'm just going to read it. I'm going to point out 4 or 5 different points in it. It's Psalm 42. Give you a resource. And I'm going to make a suggestion. Here's a couple suggestions. There's something in the Bible called lament. I've studied the Bible decades, okay? It's something I never studied because I'm not given to sad. I don't do sad much. So I don't know how to deal with sad. It doesn't come around me much. And my thing with sad is always just push it away, okay? And here's what I found. In the Bible, I found something that's called lament. And what lament is feeling sad and handing sad to God. Because the Bible says we cast all our cares on Him because He cares for us. And the Bible says that the love of God will cover a multitude of sins. Okay? And so I never really dealt with that until the past little bit. I'm learning it from the scripture, is there is a way to deal with the sad. Number one is, and Molly's really helped me with this, is go ahead and feel it. Just go ahead and be sad. I go, "I don't have time to be sad." She says, "You don't have time not to be sad. Shut up and cry." Now, she never says it like that, but it is, it's okay to be okay. It's okay to not be okay. Okay, it is for real. Because here's what you will do with tears. All these three are in the Bible. Tears start to come. Tears are actually healing. They are God's method of soul cleansing. So I'm happy, sad at the same time, in the same moment. I just celebrated goodness, and now I feel sad in my heart. What I will do is go, "I like happy better than sad. Get out of here, sad." Okay. So when you have tears, there are three things you can do with them in the Bible. One is you can stuff them. And sometimes you have to stuff them. And sometimes when you're leading and other people are around and things are falling apart, the leader can't fall apart or the whole ship's going down. And you have to stuff them. I'm just being honest. Some people need to quit crying all the time and just get done what needs to get done. That is a word from the Lord. It is a right thing sometimes. My mama was right. Quit crying and get the job done. Okay, there are times that's right. And then there are times that I don't need to stuff the tears, I need to shed the tears. Because the shedding of the tears will cleanse the soul. It's true, isn't it, Jim? Mm-hmm. I have found I really never did this much before. I'm telling you honestly. You guys get something that I've never had before. Is I have not so much been able to sit with somebody and cry. The Bible says, mourn with those that mourn, rejoice with those that rejoice. I'm a master at rejoicing with those that rejoice and help you to rejoice when you don't know how to rejoice. Real good at that. But the Bible says Jesus just mourned, right? So sometimes, so that you don't have back pressure that causes a little thing to become a big thing, there are times that tears need to be stuffed, but there are other times tears need to be shed, okay? And then the third thing in the scripture is tears need to be sown. And here's what it says. Those that go forth sowing with, come out, you remember that one in Psalms? Anybody read the Psalms? You remember that? It's just a little one. But here's what he says. Those that go forth sowing with tears will doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. You remember reading that one in the Bible? And here's what it said. I was brokenhearted and I went forth and I sowed my tear, and when I sowed my tear, it caused me to come back reaping with joy. And here's what that means. When I am broken and hurting, there are times I need to help somebody else. It'll keep me from becoming feeling sorry for myself. Does that make sense? Sometimes I might just need to choke it down, get through something. Other times I'll need to shed it. And always, if I can help somebody else that's gone through, I was talking to somebody last week, and they go, I don't know what my ministry is. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm in the midst of all this difficulty. Put the brakes on. The difficulty you're walking through is the ministry that you already have. Just help somebody else going through what you're going through. What'll happen when you, it's true, isn't it? Whatever happened, when you begin to help somebody going through what you're going through, it will release and give strength into you. Is that okay? Yeah. So here's suggestion one. Be aware of this, these four things. Here's suggestion two, there's a positive how to deal with it. Number one is feel the pain. Number two, give it to God, just consciously. God, this hurts today. I just want to give it to you, ask you to give me strength to make through. God, I'm really happy. I thank you for the A, whatever it is, that I'm going through. It's a blessing that you've given me this. We think about Peck. It's a blessing. Man, the last time that Molly and I spent some time with her, she's laying on her bed, and it was one liner after one liner, just the funniest things, and when you're 99, you don't care what somebody thinks about you, and she is just like, and we're just laughing and going on, and I go, God, thank you for that. Oh, by the way, it hurts that we'll never have that again. Does that make sense? And so is Philip, and then B is give it to God, and then C, this is lament in the scripture, is worship on the other side of it. Be aware of this. Train myself to walk in this. Celebrate the good. And let me give you a resource when you walk through it. It's Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you. See, that's worship. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. You think you might be having a bad day. Look how he dealt with his bad day. Let me worship God, even though I've, and I don't know if you've ever felt like this, but I think many of us in this room have, is I can't stop the tears. They are day and they are night. You see that? My tears have been my food day and night. And there's lots, and I don't want to go through it. What he's saying is, I am so sad I can't eat. I've not eaten food. The only thing I've eaten is tears. When did he eat them? Day and night while they continually say to me, where is your God? And I in my Bible, I have this underlined about three times. It's in this verse. And the enemy will say, where is your God? It's not a person that's going to say that. That will come to your mind. You can't eat. You're so sad. You're crying day and night. Where in the world is God in this? That's what it'll feel like in your mind. Okay? Where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. Now, see, he is shedding his tears. He's not holding them. He's shedding them. I pour out my soul. Where's God? All I can do is cry day and night. And when I remember these things, pour out my soul, for I used to go with a multitude. I went with them to the house of the Lord. Where is he now? I used to go to worship service. Where is he now? He's self-secluded. You see what I'm talking about in the Bible? He is self-secluded. He is crying day and night. He can't eat. How do I deal when my soul's like that? Okay, I used to go the multitude of the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept the feast. And now here he's going to speak to his soul. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you, see that word disquieted? That word is a word I would love to take apart. Maybe next week I will. It is a word. Is why are you tormented within me? Why is there a lot of noise? Why do the voices not? Disquieted means no peace. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why do you have no peace? And now he's going to give you the answer. Put your hope in God. When you have that kind of response, put your hope in God. And do what? Praise God for the help of his countenance. God's going to look on me. It's going to be all right. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. You see what he just did? He just took his pain and he handed it to God. God, my soul is cast down. He felt the pain. Now he hands the pain to God and then he worships. That's what I meant. I'll remember you from the land of the Jordan. Where's the Jordan? Down in a valley. Watch this. I remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon. See what he said? In my low and in my high, I want to take my memory, take my mind, and set it on God when I'm feeling these feelings here. Why? I have sadness and I have joy in the same heart at the same moment. Deep calls unto deep. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime and in the night his song. You see what he said? I was mourning in day and night, and now I'm rejoicing day and night. I have sadness and I have joy in the same heart. I will choose the hope and the joy to focus on, though I know the sadness is still there. Does that make sense? I would love to preach for another hour. I'm quitting right now. That's enough. I've talked about 20 or 30 minutes on kind of a heavy thing, and now it's wise as a communicator for me to release the pressure and say next week we'll talk about more. The two points that I want to get across this day is beware of those four things. Do you remember what they are? Self-pity. Satanic exaggeration, sinful relief, and self-seclusion. And then what do? I feel God, I'm feeling sad. Let me take this sadness, hand it to you, and let me worship on the other side of it. That make sense? Good. I just want to pray for you. I'm not waiting for everybody to run down and get saved right now. I'm not being an evangelist. I'm being a pastor that says when we are dealing with sadness and joy in the same heart, here, according to the scripture and by the Spirit, is the way we deal with it. And now what I'd like to do, and the worship team will come in just a moment. I'm going to pray first, and then the worship team is going to come. We're just going to worship. What I'm going to pray is may the anointing that binds up, and here's the Greek on that, it binds up the broken heart. King James will say bind up. Others will say heal. I like the word heal. It is true. But when my heart's broken, anybody ever seen the broken heart meme on Facebook or somewhere? You have the broken heart meme. Here's the Jesus meme. The anointing goes around the heart, and it here's the language. It binds it together until it's totally healed. And here's what the anointing will do. Grab your heart and bind it together until it's totally healed. And so let's just pray that, and then we'll worship, and we'll be good. If you want to hold on to somebody, or there's somebody that you would say, I'd just like to go and pray with you at this time, it's just open. You might want to move towards somebody. It'll be good. We're going to take about 30 seconds, 45 seconds to pray. I just want to come pray with you. Father, I thank you for anointing that binds up brokenheartedness. You said you were anointed and you came from heaven to earth, from the Father to us. And a part of what you were doing was that you could heal the brokenhearted. And or just the history of where we've been in the last couple of years and recently walking through. I pray that hearts that are full of joy and have pain, that you would bind up the pain. Father, we pray you would hold it till it's whole. Lord, there's some of us that go through a day, it's just a great day, and then something happens, or there's a memory, or there's a situation that just causes the sorrow to come in the midst of the joy. And I'm praying right now that you would hold those hearts. We come to extend them and to give them to you and to ask that you would put peace right in the middle of them. And I know the enemy tries to exaggerate things and tries to take a pain of the past and destroy a joy in the present. I pray you'd break that power. Lord, where there's exaggeration from evil, that you would stop it now in Jesus' name. Or where there's torment in the mind and it's disquieted within, I pray that you'd release your peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, there are people in this room right now going through very difficult, strenuous things. I pray that you would just cause the torment to stop and release strength and hope in Jesus' name. We declare the power of that name over every other name, and we worship the name of Jesus. As we worship together, may this worship be healing, and may it be strength, and may it be warfare against every other assignment. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.